Sharona turned to Ryan, her eyes staring white with shock, her lips folded back off the perfect teeth in a vicious snarl. She lifted her right foot and positioned it carefully over McMurtry's head.
This!
She stamped down with all of her weight, the sole of the boot driving the sharp steel deep into the Sekhman's skull. There was hardly any blood from the mortal wound, just a little, very dark, seeping out around the sculpted ivory hilt.
Now we put him out!
Ryan immediately saw the cunning of her plan. Someone sometime might want to take a look at the corpses of the two Sekhmen, and if they found knife wounds, then it might prove difficult for Ryan and the woman to explain. But out in the scouring gale...
Call that blade!
I put it in! You take it out!
She began wiping her hands in the sand to clean off the flecks of blood. Ryan wasn't in the arguing mood. He reached inside with finger and thumb and was just able to grip the slippery haft, drawing it smoothly out and wiping it on the dead man's t-shirt. He handed it to Sharona, who tucked it snugly back inside her right boot.
Yeah! Let's get him out of here!
It was easier to talk about dumping the bodies outside the protection of the hut than it was to actually do it. Once the door was opened again, both Ryan and Sharona were blinded and deafened. The chemstorm was so unrelentingly savage that it whisked away the senses. The sand lashed at their skin, making it impossible for them to see what they were doing. Communication was out of the question. Finally, Ryan pushed the woman down on the mattress while he stooped and lifted Smitty under the arms. He heaved him a few paces out the front of the ruined ranch, dropped him, and went back to fetch McMurtry's corpse. He battled back into the hut, surrounded by constant thunder and purple lightning. The air reverberated and buffeted him, filling his nostrils with the bitter stench of ozone. Ryan jammed the door shut. Sharona sat hunched on the stained mattress.
Now, we wait.
As far as Ryan could calculate, the eye of the chemstorm passed over them around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That was when they were both conscious of a sharp, painful change in atmospheric pressure. The noise dropped for a quarter of an hour, then resumed again with a banshee wail. It persisted for several more hours, bombarding the sturdy little building. Long after dark, the noise began to ease. The thunder drifted slowly away, and they could no longer see continuous purple lightning through the one tiny window.
Is it over?
The storm, you mean? Yeah, that's over.
How about what I said we could do to Alias?
That's over, too. Fact is, it never got itself started.
And us?
Us?
You and me, lover.
Over.
Ryan opened the door and glanced out. The sky was shrouded in unbroken cloud, hiding the moon completely, making it impossible to see what had happened to their hogs, or to the corpses of the Sekhmen. Ryan closed the door again and went back to the mattress, curling up beside the Baron's wife and falling immediately asleep. When Ryan next awoke, he saw the first pallid lightning of the dawn sky through the window above him. He had slept fully dressed, and he swung himself upright, stretching the kinks from his muscles.
Time to get up?
Yeah, storm's done.
Oh, sweet Lord. Feel I've been rad-blasted up and down and in and out. My mouth tastes like a rabid cougar pissed in it.
Ryan opened the door. It was a thoroughly beautiful morning, with the air clean and fresh, the peaks of the Sangre de Cristo looking close enough to touch. The sun smiled serenely from a flawlessly blue sky. At a first glance around them, nothing seemed to have changed. The contours of the land were the same. Ryan could see that the river was still running, though its waters now looked swollen and muddied. The devastated house and hut were much as they'd been before, though the adobe walls looked as if they'd been scoured clean by a team of sandblasting workers. The trees had gone, not totally, but only splintered trunks remained. Every leaf and twig, and virtually all of the large branches, had been stripped away. Sharona Carson came and stood at Ryan's elbow.
Look at him.
At first glance, it was difficult to even recognize the corpses as human bodies. Sand was piled around and over them, almost providing ready-built graves. Ryan walked toward them. He stooped and brushed away at the corpses, checking that the marks of their violent deaths had been removed by the chemstorm. Nothing to worry about. He straightened and brushed his hands free of the orange dust. The clothing of the Sekhmen had gone, except for a few ragged threads that had been partly protected by the weight of the bodies. Their skins had been flayed away, often taking the flesh with it. In several places, at shoulder, knee, elbow, there was the polished whiteness of exposed bone. McMurtry's face was unrecognizable. His eyes had been torn out, as had his lips and the soft tissues around his throat and mouth. His jaw gaped, and his teeth bore an unnatural gleam of scoured ivory. Smitty's beard had protected a little of the flesh around his jaw, but the rest of the face was disfigured in the same way as the other Sekhman.
Tell it like it was. Smitty's hog overheated. Max stayed with them. We went on and got to cover. They didn't make it.
Sharona stared at the bodies, avoiding any sort of eye contact with Ryan.
Sure.
Sharona was quite right. Best lies were the simple ones. You got caught out when you tried to be clever and elaborate. Tell it like it happened. More or less. The two-wheel wags of Sharona and the Sekhmen had been destroyed by the insane power of the Chemstorm. Not a flake of paint remained on any of the machines. They were a total loss. Ryan's Norton, placed out of harm's way, was relatively unscathed.
You're one of the most careful men I ever met, Ryan Carter. You wouldn't want to reconsider?
I said it was over, lady. Over.
Before starting off toward Talesville, they snatched a hasty meal outside from the emergency rations in the hut and shared the remaining drinking water from the metal canteen. Ryan opened up a couple of the cans, none of which bore any labels.
Corn meat in this one. I guess this is some kind of squash. You got a preference? Or can we eat half each?
I don't care.
How about if I eat it all if you really don't care?
Fuck you, lover.
After eating, Ryan decided that it would be wise to drag the stripped corpses into the hut and push the door shut on them. The wind and sand had almost tanned what flesh remained, and they would be light and easy to move.
It'll keep them away from the wolves and the coyotes.
Shit, Ryan. It's not like they're gonna hurt them. Not now.
You get your mouth working before you get your brain engaged, lady. Suppose your husband wants to see the bodies. Suppose he doesn't believe our story. Those scoured bodies are like silent witnesses. Leave them out and they disappear, and our story gets to grow a few more holes in it. That what you want?
Sharona didn't reply. After moving the bodies, Ryan gave the Norton a thorough cleaning, then kicked it to life, beckoning for Sharona to join him. Despite the ordeal, she still looked like a fashion plate. The dark glasses were in place, and the scarf was knotted casually about her slender neck. She picked her way daintily through the loose sand. Ryan let the engine idle quietly.
Ready to go?
Why not? Nothing to keep us here, is there?
Nope. We got the story straight. Wouldn't want the Baron to think that we couldn't be trusted.
She was about to swing her leg over the pillion seat of the bike, but she paused, looking at Ryan with her head cocked on one side.
I really like you, Outlander. Truly. Enjoyed the good time. And you handled the bad time better than anyone I ever met.
Thanks. Come on. Baron will be sending out a search party any time now.
Sharona put her hand on his shoulder and leaned to kiss him softly on the cheek.
Don't worry about whether the Baron trusts you and Traitor. I should worry more about whether you and Traitor can trust Baron alias Carson. And before you ask, lover, I'm not saying any more. My husband has a long arm and a mean disposition. Let's go back to town.
Ferryman was leading the search party himself, driving one of a trio of small, fast armored wags. They braked to a halt across the highway, halfway between the Ghost Ranch and the Bill. Ryan slowed down and pushed up his goggles. Sharona eased her grip around his waist, peering around his shoulders. Her face was masked with dust. Ryan finally braked the freeway between bike.
Where's my man?
Chill.
A light machine gun was mounted on the front of each of the wags. Without a word being said, the nearest one dipped and swung right until it covered Ryan.
Chill!
Both of them!
The sec boss swung his legs out of the driver's cockpit of the wag and jumped down. He pushed up his goggles as he walked toward Ryan.
You chill him?
No.
You and the woman? You and Sharona Carson? Chill in between you, did you?
No.
cold cock him? Huh? Or maybe the woman offered herself. Minnie didn't have the brains of a fence post. Show him a hole in the ground and he'd likely start trying to fuck it.
You got a big, mean mouth, Ferryman.